Now we're going to read some verses tonight again in God's Word. We are reading first of all in the Psalm 51. I'm reading some verses there, and then we will turn back to 2 Samuel and read some verses in 2 Samuel, the chapter 12. There, these verses, these portions of God's Word are connected, of course, all dealing with David and with David's sin and David's deliverance from that sin. But we're reading first of all in the Psalm 51, reading the opening verses of that Psalm 51, and the verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Then we'll turn over now to 2 Samuel. And we're reading in the chapter 12, and reading just two verses here in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel. We'll read the first 13 and the first 14. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Amen. We'll end our reading there just at that closing verse, or at that verse 14. We look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and our Father, we bow before thee again. We thank thee that thou art not wearied with our much coming. We praise thee, Lord, tonight that thou hast called us to the throne of grace. Thou hast called us, Lord, to come before thee and to come before thee with our petitions. We come now, Lord, and our prayer and our petition is that we might know thy presence with us, that we might know that help from the sanctuary, Lord. Pray that thou would have every heart gathered in here tonight to really know and to have that understanding of the Lord amongst us, of the Lord in the midst, so that our hearts will be moved and warmed. Even as we would sit under the sound of thy word, we thank thee for the infallible word of God. We thank thee that it is the unchanging and unchangeable word of God. It is forever settled in heaven. Here's something, Lord, that we can depend upon. We're glad of that tonight. We thank thee for it tonight. We pray, O God, that as we would consider those verses that we have read together, that thou would have these things to be well registered and marked on our hearts, that it might be beneficial to us, and that it might bring honour and glory to thine own dear and precious name. Lord, to this end we pray, close us in with thyself, and we pray for the preaching of thy word. Thou knowest the need of the preacher. Lord, meet that need for thine own honour and glory's sake, we pray thee. Meet that need tonight so that the word will be applied by the Spirit of God in the very manner and the way that thou would have us to go. Lord, answer prayer. Give me help. Give me that liberty that is found in the Holy Ghost. Give me, Lord, plainness of speaking. Take away anything, Lord, that would be a hindrance to me. Answer prayer. Lord, we pray these things in and through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake and honour. and for his glory. We have before us here these verses from 2 Samuel. We read those two verses from the chapter 12, the verses 13 and 14. Now, we will not rehearse the dreadful sin of David, which has blotted his character ever since. Suffice to say that as it is recorded in the last verse of the chapter 11 of 2 Samuel here, the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And as we read and have been reading here in the first 14 of this chapter 12, it gave great occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme. It gave them great occasion. They took the opportunity to use the sin of David to speak against the Lord. How serious is sin? And how serious is sin in the life of those who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because that sin gives the opportunity, and an opportunity that will not be missed. It gives the opportunity to the ungodly, to the enemies of God, to speak against the Lord. However, there is mercy with the Lord, and the glorious welcome news of the gospel is that there is forgiveness for sin with the Lord. Now we want to turn to these couple of verses that we have before us, and then with the help of other portions of God's word, we want to look at this theme that lies before us. And as we look here, we can see right away the pathway to forgiveness. We're glad tonight that although we have before us the awful sin of David, we're glad that we can say there is forgiveness for sin with God. We're glad tonight that those who are found in the meeting, yet unsaved, or sitting in the cars, in the car park, or looking on through whatever media access might be the case, we're glad to say that though there are sinners listening, yet the glad tidings of the gospel is that there is forgiveness with God, and we have before us here the pathway to forgiveness. There is conviction of sin. There is confession of that sin to God. There is a calling on the Lord for pardon. That's the pathway as we can see here. Do you see, for a long time, David had been living with a conscience that was dead to sin. He had done a terrible thing, a despicable thing that resulted in the dishonoring of a woman, in the killing of a man, in the death of a baby, in grieving the Lord and giving the ungodly an excuse to speak against the Lord. That was the sin that David had committed. It had a great depth about it, great fineness about it. And yet David was living for this particular period of time. He was dead to that sin. There was no conviction of that sin. We can see here that David didn't feel it at all until the word of the Lord came to him by God's servant Nathan. God sent in mercy his servant Nathan to David, and God powerfully applied that word to David's heart and awoke him to see and to feel his iniquity. Oh yes, we can say that David was able to see the sin of others, as we can see from his first response to the word that Nathan brought him. Nathan told him a parable. He brought him this word from the Lord, and he told him about two men. One of them was a very rich farmer who had great herds and a great flock of sheep. The neighbor farmer was a very poor man. He only had one wee lamb, and it was really a pet lamb that he kept in the house, and he looked after it so very well. It was a pet lamb belonging to that wee family of the poor man. A visitor came to the rich man, and the visitor, of course, needed to be fed. And the rich man, instead of taking a lamb from his own flock, and he had plenty of them, instead he sent and he got the lamb that belonged to this poor farmer, the lamb that was a pet lamb, and he killed it, and he used it to supply the needs of the visitor that had called with him. Now, when Nathan told that story to David, David was very cross. He was angry. He immediately said, this rich man, he needed to die because of his sin. It was so serious. It wasn't until Nathan said, David, thou art the man, that David realized his own sin and realized that his sin was very grievous to the Lord. There was powerful preaching. There was personal, pointed preaching that Nathan brought to David, and it convicted David of his sin. He was convinced of his sin, and he confessed his sin, as we can see in the verse 13 here. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. We read the same words and the same thought there in the Psalm 51, part of that psalm we read together in the third verse. And he says, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Here we find that David is acknowledging his sin. He feels his sin. He's confessing his sin before the Lord. There is a verse there in the Psalm 25, the verse 11, David's words again in relation to this very thing. And in the Psalm 25, the verse 11, he says, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. He acknowledges that he has sinned against God. He acknowledges that his iniquity is against God, but that his iniquity is great. Great both in quality and in quantity. The word that he uses here, this Hebrew word that David uses for great here, it means, and it is translated by other English words in the Old Testament, it's the very same word that means abundant, and it means also exceeding. It means multitude. It means too much. It is great. Great because of the vileness of the sin. And of course, this applies to all sin. It applies to our sin, not only to David's sin. We can see the terms that David uses in that Psalm 51. He uses these terms to demonstrate the vileness and the filthiness that he feels his sin to be, the uncleanness of it. Look at that Psalm 51. We can see there the terms that he uses in that particular psalm. As we come there to look at it, the first one and the first two, we can see what he says regarding that. He says, blot out mine iniquity. The first two, wash me. And the first three there, he says, cleanse me. In the first four, or rather the first seven, he says, purge me and wash me. The first nine, blot out. The first ten, create in me a clean heart. All of these terms are identifying the sense of the depravity and vileness that David now feels because of his sin. He's coming before the Lord. He's confessing his sin. He's confessing the greatness of his sin. He's confessing how great it is in vileness, in depravity. All sin is the very depth of depravity and vileness in the eyes of a holy God. All sin. People, we are by nature sinners. And in our natural state of sin, we are dripping with sin, just dripping with sin. Some of the old Puritans said, we are just great big lumps of sin. This is the vileness of the sinner. David is saying here before God, my sin is great. It is great in vileness, in depravity. And then he says, my sin is great because it is against the Lord. And dear unsaved, your sin is against the Lord. It is rebellion against the Lord. It is against his law. It is against his authority. It is against his holiness. It is against his love. It's against his mercy. It's against his patience. The fact that we are not already in hell. And dear unsaved, the fact that you are not already in hell tonight shows the mercy and the patience and the grace and the goodness and the patience of God. And yet, dear unsaved, you throw that in the face of God. When God calls you to salvation found in Christ, you refuse it. And you sin against God in your rebellion against the Lord. My friend, your sin is great. And then, of course, we find that sin is great because of the number of our sins. Who can tell the number of our sins? Dear unsaved, you can't tell tonight the number of your sins because they are so great in number. Only God knows, and God does know exactly. A multitude of sins. These are the terms that David was using here when he talked about his sin being great. It's the term that means a multitude. It's the term that means exceeding or too much. Our sins are too much for us to know. Oh, the depth of our sin, a real mountain of sin, sins of word and sins of deed and sins of thought. When God applied the message of that to David, that message that Nathan brought, and applied it to David's heart, then David felt his sin. He was convicted of his sin, convinced of his sin, that it was great. And he confessed that sin before God. And dear unsaved, this is where this whole matter affects you. Do you feel your sin? Do you feel tonight that your sin is against the Lord? Can you feel the fineness of your sin? Do you see your sin as God sees it? Over in the opening chapter of Isaiah, we find there in those opening verses, verses 5 and 6, for example, the Lord explains the depravity of sin. And he talks about the whole man from the top of the head to the sole of the feet. It is full of putrefying sores that have never been mollified, no ointment applied, sores that are putrid, that are foul, that are running, that are festering, that are stinking. That's how God sees sin. My friend, that's how you need to see your sin tonight. You need to see it and acknowledge it before God and confess your sin before God. So we have the pathway to forgiveness, an acknowledgement of sin, confessing your sin before the Lord. Then we have the ground of forgiveness, the basis of this forgiveness. I want you to notice this word that is used by David in the Psalm 51 and the first 7, where he says, purge me with hyssop, or if you like, purge me as with hyssop. It's a reference to the cleansing of the lepers, the unclean, by the use of hyssop. David acknowledges his vileness and he says, Lord, purge me. Now, this term that he uses, purge me, it has within it the sense of owning his sin, to be at fault. The very same Hebrew word is used over in Genesis 41 and 9. And there we have the chief butler, and he says to Pharaoh, I do remember my faults. And it's the very same word. David is saying here to the Lord, here's my fault. Purge me from my faults. It's the very same word that means to bear blame. And over in Genesis 43, the verse 9, Judah is speaking to his father, to Israel, and he says, let me bear the blame. It's the very same word. David is saying, Lord, I'm to blame. Purge me from this blame. It means to have done harm. That's how it was translated in Leviticus 5 and the first 16. I've done harm. David acknowledges before God, Lord, in my sin, I have done harm. Purge me from the harm that I've done. It means to offend. And of course, that's how it's used in a number of places in the Old Testament. He has offended God because of his sin. We offend God because of our sin. And people, we are to blame for our sin. David owns his sin. He owns it as his own. He doesn't try to excuse it or to put the blame on anyone else. He says, it is my sin. How often he uses the personal pronoun applied to himself, my sin, my sin. He's saying, Lord, I'm to blame for my sin. I have offended the Lord with my sin. I need to be purged from that. I need to be cleansed from that. Here's the acknowledgement, people. Here's where David is when we come across him here. In these verses, he desperately now feels his sin and he feels the need to be cleansed from sin. The same Hebrew word is used over there in 2 Chronicles 29. 2 Chronicles 29, just let me turn you to it and to the first 24. And read the 23rd verse too. Verse 23. Of 2 Chronicles 29. And they brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them, and the priests killed them, and they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement for all Israel. Now that word reconciliation there, it is the very same Hebrew word that David uses when he says to the Lord, purge me or cleanse me. And David is saying here, reconcile me to God, make reconciliation. Let me be reconciled to God. Do you see, sin separates us from God. Over in Isaiah and the chapter 59, the second verse there, we read of our iniquity and how it separates us from God. It separates us from the face of God. And that is what David is saying here about his sin. He's saying, Lord, I have offended thee. My sin is great. And I'm to blame. But my sin has separated me from the Lord. And he's saying, Lord, now let there be reconciliation. Lord, reconcile me. Bring me back again into that relationship of friendship with the Lord. Let there be nothing between me and the Lord. That's what David is saying when he says, Lord, purge me, cleanse me, reconcile me again to the Lord. But I want you to see that verse there, what it says. And you will note here right away that this reconciliation to God is on the basis. It is by means of the shed blood of the sacrifice. Look what it says. And the priests killed them, and they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement for all Israel. People, there is reconciliation today for the sinner with God. His sin can be purged away. He can be made right with God and ready for heaven on the basis of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrificial Lamb of God. Remember how we read in John's Gospel there the words when he cried out, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. There is this means of cleansing. There is this means of being right with God. But it's on the basis of the shed blood of him who is the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, it was by this means that atonement was made, a covering for sin, sin blotted out. This is what David is seeking from the Lord. And he's seeking it from the Lord on the basis of the shed blood of the sacrifice. It points us to Christ and his sacrificial offering up of himself on the cross to satisfy the just demands of God, payment of our debt because of our sin. He died for us as our substitute. He died in our place. My friend, this brings us to the shed blood of Christ. It's only by the blood of Christ that a sinner can be pardoned and cleansed and reconciled to God. It is on this ground alone that God pardons the sinner. There is no forgiveness without the blood. Hebrews 9 and 22, without shedding of blood is no remission. No pardon, no forgiveness without the blood of Christ. And dear unsaved in the meeting tonight, or listening in wherever you may be, you will never have your sin dealt with. You will never be reconciled to God. You will never be ready for heaven unless you come in repentance and in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask the Lord for cleansing. Without the blood of Jesus Christ and without the cleansing by that blood, you will never be in heaven. Never will you be in heaven. Here's the pathway to forgiveness. Here's the basis of forgiveness. It is the atoning work and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then you have the effects of forgiveness. You look again at 2 Samuel 12. Look at the verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Confession of sin. This is what we have here. And then we find, and Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. The Lord hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. People, death is the result of sin. Sin brings forth death. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. This is how death entered into the world, by sin, as we have it there in Romans 5 and verse 12, where it's speaking there of that one man. That one man is Adam, by which sin entered into the world, and death by sin. But when the message was brought to David, and he repented, the word from the Lord was, thy sin is put away. Thou shalt not die. Thy sin is put away, therefore thou shalt not die. The penalty was removed. But this promise was not relating to physical death as far as David was concerned. When God said to David, thou shalt not die, he wasn't talking about physical death, because David did die physically, as we have it over there in 1 Kings in the chapter 2. And we will all die physically. It is appointed unto man once to die, you and me, everyone in the meeting tonight, everyone listening in. It is appointed unto us once to die. Every one of us can be sure of this one thing: we will die. And there are other things we're not sure of. And we are not sure of how it will be, or when it will be, or what the cause of it will be. But we are absolutely sure tonight that we will die, for it is appointed unto a man once to die. This message to David has to do with eternal death. It has to do with that which is called in Revelation 21 and 22, the second death. All the unsaved have their part in this. in the second death, in hell. Here is pain unbearable. When we're talking about eternal death, eternal damnation, eternal punishment, all the different terms that are used in the scripture. When we're talking about hell, the place of the doomed and the damned, the place where the unsafe will be eternally, my friend, is the place of unbearable pain, but you must bear it. It is the place of ruin. It's the place of agony. It's the place of torment. It's the lake of fire. What intensity of suffering there is in hell. Not only intensity of suffering, but eternity. It is speaking, my friend, here of eternal suffering. It is eternity without end. Eternity without end. Now, the message to David was, when he repented of his sin before God, was, your sin has been put away. Thou shalt not die. And God has that same message to every man and woman and young person who does what David did, who sees their sin, who acknowledges their sin before God, who pleads with God for deliverance, for cleansing, for reconciliation, for the man, the woman, the young person who will look to the Lord and call on God to save him. The promise of God is that whosoever shall call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, that whosoever means those in the meeting tonight and elsewhere, any man, woman, young person, feeling their sin, calls on the Lord for salvation, they shall be saved. Their sin shall be put away. They shall not die eternally. They will never be found in the pit of hell. Oh, dear soul, tonight, this is the effect of forgiveness. It is to be delivered from that punishment. The punishment is put away on account of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. That's the basis for forgiveness. What the Lord has done. What Jesus did on Calvary for the poor, vile, filthy, undeserving sinner just like us. He went to Calvary, and there on the cross he bore our sin in his own body on the tree. As our substitute, he bore the wrath of God in our place, so that that wrath could be turned away from us and we would be reconciled to God and made ready for heaven. Reconciled to God and blessed in this life and made ready for heaven. Dear unsaved, I wonder, would you come to Christ tonight? Would you call upon his name? Would you feel your sin? Feel your need of a Saviour? Would you come to Christ tonight and find in him the Saviour that you need? May the Lord be pleased to bless his word and apply his word savingly to the hearts of the unsaved, that it might be a word of encouragement to God's people, that it might be a word of restoration to those who are backslidden and cold in heart. May the Lord apply his word tonight. Amen and amen.